Welcome to Saving Castles, the podcast for castle and chateau enthusiasts. Join us as we explore the fascinating history, stories, and culture of these awe-inspiring structures, from the legends and folklore to the latest in restoration. We'll cover it all, so whether you're a seasoned castle aficionado or just discovering the magic of these magnificent buildings, this is the podcast for you. So grab your headphones and let's dive in.
Welcome to another episode of Saving Castles. Today, we delve into the enthralling mystery of the Knights Hospitaller, an order that harmoniously united the roles of care and combat. Theirs is a story that leaps off the pages of history and sweeps across continents. It is a story that has been whispered by the cold stones of their formidable castles and echoed within the serene halls of their hospitals. Our narrative begins in the 11th century, a time when the old world was grappling with the Crusades, the quest for holy lands, and the clash of civilizations. Amid this tumult, a new force began to take shape in the city of Jerusalem, one that would become known as the Order of St. John or the Knights Hospitaller. The roots of the Hospitallers, like many great narratives, lie in humble origins, established around 1023 by merchants from Amalfi, an Italian city-state. The order initially provided care to pilgrims traveling through the arduous paths to the Holy Land. The order built a hospital next to the monastery of St. John the Baptist in Jerusalem, seeking to embody Christ's commandment to love thy neighbor. Throughout the centuries, the Hospitallers became emblematic of an astounding paradox. The knights who fought fierce battles by day and turned healers by night. They transcended the conventional confines of a knight's duty to protect and serve, embedding an ethos of care within their warrior spirit. Their mission was simple: to heal the injured, nurse the sick, and comfort the dying, while also defending the Christian realm. Their story is an enigma, a crossroads where the paths of faith, medicine, and military strategy meet. The role they played in the Middle Ages is nothing short of extraordinary. At a time when kingdoms rose and fell at the edge of a sword, the Hospitallers emerged as a distinct entity. They were respected and feared, admired and envied, often all at the same time. As we journey through their history, we will find ourselves in the presence of fearless knights and compassionate healers, standing witness to a saga that is as moving as it is breathtaking. The context of their existence was a crucible that forged the unique nature of the order. The Holy Land, sought by many, was an arena of ceaseless conflict. It was here that the Hospitallers served, creating an oasis of healing amidst the sandstorms of war. But as the tides of time turned, the Hospitallers found themselves drawn into the vortex of military conflict. This transformation, from being custodians of peace to bearers of arms, is a pivotal part of their story. As the landscape of the Holy Land changed, so did the knights. They embraced warfare as a necessary adjunct to their healing mission, thus embodying the dual nature that makes them such a compelling study. To truly understand the mystery of the Hospitallers, we will travel through time, exploring their formation, their contributions to the medieval world, their evolution from caregivers to warriors, their castles, and their enduring legacy. We will traverse the shifting sands of the Middle East, the rugged terrain of Rhodes, and the sun-kissed shores of Malta. Together, we will unveil the historical context that shaped this unique order, seeking to comprehend the forces that compelled men of peace to wield the sword. We will marvel at their enduring fortresses and find ourselves inspired by their enduring principles of service. As we delve deeper into the mystery of the Knights Hospitaller, we find ourselves drawn to the starting point of their remarkable journey. To unravel their tale, we must journey back to the early days of the 11th century. The Order of St. John, also known as the Knights Hospitaller, was born from a simple act of faith. The founder, a pious man named Gerard, was not a king, not a noble, but a humble merchant from Amalfi. He established a hospital in Jerusalem around 1023 to provide care for poor, sick, or injured pilgrims traveling to the Holy Land. This hospital was dedicated to St. John the Baptist, hence the name Hospitallers. The city of Jerusalem was then under the rule of the Fatimid Caliphate, a time when religious tolerance allowed for such establishments to flourish. The location of the city, at the crossroads of continents, brought pilgrims from distant lands, each bearing their faith and illnesses alike. Against this backdrop, the hospital served as an oasis of care, standing in stark contrast to the political, religious, and social tumult brewing outside its walls. Gerard and his successors created an order that was bound by key principles: charity, service, and faith. These principles were so deeply ingrained that they became the bedrock upon which the order was built. This dedication to healing those in need was reflected in the order's motto, Pro Fide, Pro Utilitate, Hominem, which translates as for the faith and in the service of humanity. The original members of the order were known as Hospitallers, a name derived from the Latin hospitalis, referring to the hospitality they offered to pilgrims and the sick. They took vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, dedicating their lives to the service of others. They were not merely healers, but hosts, caring for both the physical and spiritual well-being of those under their care. Under Gerard's astute leadership, the hospital soon grew in size and reputation. Its doors were open to all, regardless of nationality or faith. Within the quiet, comforting corridors of the hospital, the hospitallers exemplified the principles of Christian charity. They saw in every suffering pilgrim the face of Christ, serving each one with deep compassion and respect. The work was hard, the hours long, but for these early hospitallers, service was their sacred calling. The order's focus on medical care was unique for its time. At a period when the understanding of diseases was primarily linked to supernatural causes, the hospitaller's approach was rooted in practical care. The hospitaller's hospital was a beacon of light in the medieval world, embodying the very spirit of humanitarianism. When Pope Paschal II granted the order his formal recognition in the early 12th century, it marked a significant milestone. The order now had papal sanction, which afforded it a measure of protection and prestige. This recognition was not merely symbolic. It provided the foundation for the order's expansion and evolution in the centuries to come. The principles and values of the Knights Hospitaller, their dedication to healing, their commitment to service, and their unyielding faith formed the cornerstone of their existence. These ideals would guide them as they evolved from hospitallers to knights, from servants of the sick to defenders of the faith. But at this early juncture, in the quiet corridors of their Jerusalem hospital, they could scarcely have envisioned the path that lay ahead. Thus began the story of the Knights Hospitaller. From the simplicity of a hospital in Jerusalem, the order would grow, evolve, and adapt, navigating the stormy seas of history. As we trace their steps from these humble beginnings, we find an extraordinary story of resilience, faith, and adaptability. For the tale of the hospitallers is a journey that transcends time and space, a testament to the enduring power of a noble ideal. In the burgeoning narrative of the Knights Hospitaller, the echoes of their healing mission are ever present. The hospitallers' original calling was one of care, of offering respite to weary pilgrims, of soothing the aches of the ill, and of lighting the way for the dying. This sacred purpose was etched deep into the very marrow of their existence. In the heart of Jerusalem, within the protective embrace of their hospital stone walls, the hospitallers toiled tirelessly. The corridors resonated with the soft murmur of prayers, the comforting whispers of caregivers, and the steady rhythm of life and death. For the sick and injured, the hospital was a sanctuary, a haven where care and compassion reigned supreme. At a time when medical science was in its infancy, the practices and treatments offered by the hospitallers were revolutionary. They offered a blend of physical care, spiritual comfort, and human compassion, an approach that was holistic in its essence. The hospitallers regarded each patient as a sacred charge, an individual worthy of respect and dignity. This ethos permeated every aspect of their caregiving. The hospitals established by the Order were ahead of their time in many ways. Their design and functionality were specifically tailored to facilitate effective patient care. Ventilation and cleanliness were prioritized, and the architecture ensured that the patients received adequate natural light. Separate wards were designated for patients with different ailments. An early nod to the concept of infection control. There was even provision for a peaceful garden where patients could seek solace and peace. The medical practices of the hospitallers bridged the realms of the spiritual and the physical. While they relied on the rudimentary medical knowledge of their time, treatments often included natural remedies derived from plants and herbs. But along with these, the hospitallers also offered spiritual care, including prayer and sacraments, firmly believing in the therapeutic power of faith. These practices were significant not only because they provided immediate care, but also because they laid the foundation for several aspects of modern medical practice. They recognized the importance of cleanliness, ventilation, and well-organized spaces in promoting healing, ideas that resonate strongly in today's medical world. The hospitaller's approach underscored the link between mind and body, emphasizing the role of holistic care in promoting healing. The care provided by the hospitallers extended beyond the confines of their hospital walls. They maintained a group of fermiers or farmers who cultivated herbs and plants known for their medicinal properties. These farmers played a vital role in the hospitallers' healing mission, providing a steady supply of essential ingredients for treatments. Moreover, the hospitallers' work extended beyond the realm of medicine. Their hospitals were often a hub of social services, offering shelter, food, and care to the poor, the orphaned, and the aged. They became centers of charity, places where the needy could find assistance, comfort, and solace. The work of the hospitallers had a profound impact on medieval society. At a time when illness was often associated with sin or divine punishment, the order presented an alternative narrative. They saw illness as a condition to be treated, not a curse to be shunned. They challenged societal norms and reshaped perceptions about sickness and health. The legacy of the hospitallers as healers is not merely confined to their role in caring for the sick and wounded. They played a significant part in advancing medical knowledge, in promoting humane care, and in creating an environment where healing was seen as a noble mission. Their approach to health care was a beacon of compassion and care in an era marked by strife and turmoil. The Knights Hospitallers' early years as healers serve as a testament to their enduring ethos of service. Even as they later took up arms, their original calling, to care for the sick and wounded, remained an integral part of their identity. Their journey as healers offers us valuable insights into their character and their extraordinary story. As we delve deeper into the chronicles of the Knights Hospitaller, we encounter a critical juncture. A transformative moment that would indelibly shape their destiny. This segment of our narrative will chart their evolution from healers into warriors, a metamorphosis triggered by the exigencies of their time. The year 1099, marked by the successful conclusion of the First Crusade and the establishment of the Kingdom of Jerusalem. This period was characterized by religious fervor, territorial ambitions, and a shifting political landscape. The Holy Land, coveted by both Christian and Muslim powers, was a crucible of conflict, a land where faiths and fates collided. The hospitallers, initially dedicated to caring for pilgrims, found themselves at the crossroads of this changing landscape. As Jerusalem transformed into a Christian stronghold, the need for a capable military force to protect these newly acquired territories became pressing. Consequently, in 1113, under the leadership of Raymond de Puy, the Knights Hospitaller underwent a seismic shift in their identity. They became a military order. Raymond, who succeeded Gerard as the master of the order, was a man of foresight. Recognizing the precarious position of the Christian territories, he expanded the order's mandate to include military defense. It was a pivot. Born out of necessity, an adjustment to the tides of time that preserved their commitment to care while also allowing them to contribute to the defense of the Christian realm. The transformation of the hospitallers into a military order was a gradual process. They did not abandon their healing mission, but rather complemented it with martial prowess. From peaceful healers, they evolved into warrior monks, donning the Red Cross on their white mantles, a symbol that would become synonymous with their identity. Their days were split between prayer, hospital work, and rigorous military training. They were disciplined, dedicated, and driven, their lives characterized by a unique blend of piety and martial readiness. This duality of purpose, healing and fighting, was their defining characteristic, setting them apart from other military orders of the period. With this transformation, the Hospitallers carved out a new identity, one that aligned them with the chivalric ideals of the Middle Ages. They became the embodiment of the knightly virtues of bravery, piety, and charity. Yet, even as they owned their martial skills, their original calling, to provide care for the sick and the injured remained at the core of their ethos. Their military prowess did not overshadow their commitment to charity. Instead, it reinforced it. This evolution had a profound impact on the Order's status and influence. As they gained military expertise, they also garnered considerable wealth and power. Their ranks swelled with new recruits, drawn to their unique blend of knightly chivalry and Christian service. Knights, nobles, and even kings bestowed lands, castles, and wealth upon the Order, strengthening its military and financial position. Despite the significant shifts in their role and function, the Knights Hospitaller remained steadfast in their core mission. They upheld their vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and maintained their commitment to healing the sick and wounded. The Order's hospitals remained operational, continuing to provide care for those in need, even as their brethren defended the borders of the Christian realm. As we explore this period of transformation, we find a saga that straddles the realms of the divine and the worldly. The Hospitallers' metamorphosis into a military order exemplifies their adaptability, their resilience, and their unyielding commitment to their principles. It was an evolution born of necessity, driven by the changing tides of history, yet anchored in their fundamental commitment to service. The story of the Knights Hospitallers' transformation from healers to warriors offers a captivating glimpse into a period marked by religious fervor, political intrigue, and human resilience. It reveals a fascinating facet of the Order's identity and provides valuable insights into their enduring legacy. As the Knights Hospitaller assumed their dual roles of healer and defender, their place in the larger narrative of the Crusades became significant. Today, we turn our attention to the Knights' part in these religious wars, their military achievements, and the crucial role they played in shaping the course of history. The Crusades were a series of religious wars, sanctioned by the Latin Church in the medieval period. Their primary aim was to reclaim the Holy Land from Muslim rule. At the heart of these wars was Jerusalem, a city of profound religious significance for Christians, Jews, and Muslims alike. Its strategic location and religious importance made it a coveted prize. The First Crusade, 1095 to 1099, ended with the creation of the Christian Kingdom of Jerusalem. The Hospitallers, still primarily a charitable and hospitaller order at this time, played no military role in this initial expedition. However, their contribution to the care of pilgrims and the sick was invaluable in the years following the establishment of the Christian state. As we've seen, by the time of the Second Crusade, 1147 to 1149, the Hospitallers had transformed into a full-fledged military order under the leadership of Raymond Dupuy. They now took an active part in the Crusades, their knights fighting alongside other military orders like the Templars and Teutonic Knights. The Hospitallers' prowess in battle was acknowledged and respected by friend and foe alike. They fought in several key battles, their white mantles adorned with red crosses, distinguishing them on the battlefield. They earned renown for their bravery, tactical acumen, and discipline. Their dual commitment to healing and fighting made them a unique and invaluable presence in the Crusader armies. Their significant military contributions included the crucial defense of the Kingdom of Jerusalem against an invading Fatimid army at the Battle of Ascalon in 1153. Their stronghold, the formidable Crac des Chevaliers, played a central role in defending the Crusader states from Muslim invasions. This castle, one of the most famous and well-preserved Crusader castles, stands today as a testament to the Hospitallers' architectural genius and military might. The Hospitallers also played a pivotal role in the famed Siege of Acre during the Third Crusade, 1189 to 1192. Despite their valiant efforts and tactical successes, the Christian forces were ultimately unable to secure lasting control over Jerusalem. The city changed hands multiple times during the subsequent Crusades, reflecting the volatile nature of this period. Throughout the Crusades, the Hospitallers remained committed to their original calling of caring for the sick and wounded. Their hospitals in Jerusalem, Antioch, and other locations provided care for Crusaders and local Christians alike. They were a sanctuary amidst the chaos, a beacon of compassion in a sea of conflict. While the Crusades are often viewed through the prism of religious conflict, the role of the Knights Hospitaller provides a more nuanced perspective. As an order, they were warriors and healers, defenders of the faith and caretakers of the poor and sick. They embodied the complex reality of the Crusades, a mix of religious fervor, chivalric idealism, brutal warfare, and compassionate care. The Knights Hospitallers' involvement in the Crusades was more than a testament to their martial prowess. It reflected their adaptability, their unwavering commitment to their faith, and their steadfast dedication to their dual mission of healing and defending. As the Crusades ended, the Knights Hospitallers found themselves once again on the cusp of transformation. The shifting tides of power and the changing political landscape would demand new adaptations, new challenges, and new battles. But the essence of the order, their commitment to faith, to service, and to humanity, would remain undiminished, guiding them through the uncertainties of the future. The page now turns to a critical moment in the history of the Knights Hospitaller, the fall of Jerusalem and their subsequent exodus to Cyprus and Rhodes. As the tides of fortune changed, so did the destiny of these knights. The year was 1187, and the city of Jerusalem, the jewel of the Christian kingdom, was under the command of the formidable Muslim leader Saladin. Despite the determined defense of the city by its Christian defenders, including the Knights Hospitaller, the city fell to Saladin after a protracted siege. The fall of Jerusalem was a seismic event, shaking the foundations of the Christian world and marking a turning point in the history of the Crusades. With the fall of Jerusalem, the Hospitallers, along with their fellow military orders, were dislodged from their established bases in the Holy Land. However, they refused to yield to adversity. The Hospitallers, resilient and adaptable, sought refuge in the island of Cyprus, where they regrouped and began to rebuild. In Cyprus, the Hospitallers were welcomed by the island's ruler, King Richard the Lionheart of England, himself a participant in the Third Crusade. Recognizing the strategic importance of the Hospitallers, Richard provided them with a base from which they could continue their operations. The island's location made it an ideal staging point for future efforts to recapture the Holy Land. The Hospitallers' time in Cyprus was, however, short-lived. In 1309, they embarked on a significant move, acquiring the island of Rhodes. This acquisition marked a new chapter in the history of the order, transforming them from landless refugees to sovereign rulers of their own realm. The island of Rhodes, positioned at the crossroads of Europe and the Middle East, offered the Hospitallers strategic and political advantages. They established a state-of-the-art hospital in the city of Rhodes, continuing their commitment to the sick and needy. They also built formidable fortifications, transforming Rhodes into a bastion of Christian power in the eastern Mediterranean. As the masters of Rhodes, the Hospitallers became a maritime power. They developed a formidable navy, allowing them to protect Christian shipping routes in the region and disrupt those of their Muslim adversaries. Their fleet of galleys, crewed by the order's knights and sergeants, was a force to be reckoned with, cementing their reputation as both healers and warriors. In Rhodes, the Knights Hospitaller not only survived but thrived. They showed remarkable resilience, resourcefulness, and adaptability, successfully transitioning from the loss of Jerusalem to establishing a powerful, independent presence in the Mediterranean. Their governance of Rhodes for over two centuries stands testament to their administrative acumen, military prowess, and commitment to their dual mission. During this period, the Knights Hospitaller's role as healers did not diminish. The Hospital of Rhodes, considered one of the finest in the medieval world, provided care not only for knights but also for local citizens and visiting pilgrims. This commitment to their founding purpose of providing care served as a constant thread, linking their past in the Holy Land to their future in the Mediterranean. The fall of Jerusalem and the subsequent relocation to Cyprus and Rhodes serve as a testament to the Hospitaller's tenacity. Their journey during this tumultuous period offers valuable insights into their character as an order and illuminates their profound impact on the broader canvas of medieval history. The saga of the Knights Hospitaller continues with the formidable siege of Rhodes and the consequential relocation to Malta. The events of this period, fraught with trials and challenges, provide a vivid testimony to the Order's resilience and their unyielding determination to survive and thrive against all odds. By the early 16th century, the Ottoman Empire was emerging as a formidable power in the eastern Mediterranean. The Hospitaller's stronghold of Rhodes stood as a constant thorn in the side of the Ottomans, with its strategic location and its knights' incessant raids on Ottoman shipping routes. The stage was set for a confrontation that would decide the fate of the Knights Hospitaller. The first significant assault came in 1480, when the Ottomans launched a massive siege against Rhodes. Despite being heavily outnumbered, the Hospitallers, under the leadership of Grand Master Pierre d'Aubusson, repelled the Ottoman forces after a grueling six-month-long siege. The knights' resilience and the fortifications they had built around Rhodes proved crucial in their victorious defense. However, the victory of 1480 was not to last. In 1522, the Ottomans returned under the leadership of Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent. This time, the Ottomans were better prepared and more determined than ever. The siege of Rhodes, lasting 6 months, was one of the most prolonged and fiercely contested sieges in history. Despite their indomitable spirit and tenacious defense, the knights were heavily outnumbered and could not hold the city indefinitely. On January 1, 1523, Grand Master Philip Villiers de Lisle was compelled to negotiate a surrender. The terms of capitulation allowed the Hospitallers to leave Rhodes with full military honors and their religious icons, thus preserving their dignity and their faith. However, the loss of Rhodes put the Knights Hospitaller once again in a position of uncertainty, transforming them from sovereign rulers back into wandering knights. For 7 years, they were without a permanent base, their future hanging in the balance. Salvation came in 1530, when Emperor Charles V of Spain, who was also King of Sicily, offered the knights the islands of Malta and Gozo and the North African port of Tripoli. The only stipulation was that the knights provide a falcon annually to the Viceroy of Sicily, a condition immortalized in the title of the classic novel The Maltese Falcon. The Hospitallers, now known as the Knights of Malta, quickly established their presence on the island. They built fortifications, hospitals, and palaces, transforming the city of Valletta into a formidable bastion of Christian power. Malta became a key staging point for their naval activities, as they continued to challenge Ottoman power in the Mediterranean. The move to Malta signaled a new chapter in the history of the knights. It reinforced their reputation as resilient survivors and strategic masters capable of transforming adversity into opportunity. Their strength and resourcefulness during this tumultuous period underscored their enduring commitment to their dual mandate of defending the faith and serving the sick and needy. The siege of Rhodes and the subsequent relocation to Malta highlight the tenacity and adaptability that define the Knights Hospitaller. From the defense of Rhodes to the establishment of a new stronghold in Malta, they persevered, standing as a testament to the enduring power of faith, duty, and service in the face of adversity. In the grand tale of the Knights Hospitaller, no chapter is more fraught with tension, drama, and valor than the Great Siege of Malta. It was here that the knights would face their greatest test, one that would shape their destiny and carve an indelible mark on the annals of history. The year was 1565, and the knights, now known as the Knights of Malta, had settled in their new home for over 3 decades. However, their peace was soon to be shattered. Suleiman the Magnificent, the Ottoman Sultan, who had evicted the knights from Rhodes, turned his gaze towards Malta. The knights were once again in the path of the Ottoman juggernaut. The reasons for the Ottoman assault were many. Malta's strategic location was a prized asset, and the knights' continuous raids on Ottoman trade routes were a constant irritation. The time had come, in the Sultan's view, to remove this Christian outpost once and for all. On May 18, 1565, a formidable Ottoman fleet appeared off the coast of Malta. The force, numbering around 40,000 men, vastly outnumbered the knights and their Maltese auxiliaries, who totaled no more than 9,000. The stage was set for one of the most dramatic sieges in military history. The Ottoman assault was ferocious, and their numbers overwhelming. Yet, the knights, under the leadership of Grand Master Jean Parisot de Valette, held firm. Despite their numerical disadvantage, they defended their fortifications with unyielding courage and determination, fighting for every inch of the ground. Their tenacity was embodied in the fierce defense of Fort St. Elmo, which withstood a month-long Ottoman assault before finally falling. Yet the knights did not falter. They regrouped, fortified their positions, and prepared for the next wave of the Ottoman onslaught. The siege dragged on for months, with neither side giving quarter. Yet slowly but surely the resolve of the Ottoman forces began to wane. Their casualties mounted, and their initial momentum was lost. The knights, buoyed by their faith and resolve, held on. In early September, after a grueling 4-month-long siege, a relief force from Sicily finally arrived. The beleaguered knights and their Maltese allies were reinforced, and the tide of battle turned decisively in their favor. On September 8, the surviving Ottoman forces, demoralized and depleted, retreated. Malta had withstood the siege. The knights had triumphed. The great siege of Malta became a defining moment for the knights. Their courage, resilience, and tactical acumen became legendary, heralding a golden age for the order. Grand Master de Valette, the heroic leader of the defense, was immortalized in the new capital city, Valletta, named in his honor. Following the siege, the order embarked on an extensive building program, transforming Malta into a fortress island. They built the magnificent city of Valletta, complete with grand palaces, robust fortifications, and a state-of-the-art hospital. The architectural and artistic legacy of this period continues to shape Malta's cultural landscape today. As the wheel of history turned, it brought with it a new era, the Age of Enlightenment and Revolution. Amidst the profound transformations of this period, the Knights of Malta found themselves grappling with challenges and changes that would redefine their place in the world. The Age of Enlightenment, spanning the 17th and 18th centuries, was characterized by a surge in intellectual and philosophical discourse. It emphasized reason, individualism, and skepticism towards traditional authority. These ideas, however, posed challenges to the knights whose very existence was intertwined with the traditional authority of the church and monarchy. Moreover, the order's military relevance in the Mediterranean was gradually diminishing. The decline of Ottoman power, the shifting focus towards Atlantic powers, and the emergence of modern navies all contributed to reducing the strategic importance of the knights' naval presence. As their military influence waned, the knights found themselves navigating a new landscape, one that called for adaptation and change. The knights responded to these changes by embracing aspects of the Enlightenment. They cultivated the sciences and arts, fostering an environment of learning within the order. They transformed their hospitals into modern medical facilities, embracing new scientific advancements and improving their care for the sick. However, the challenges for the knights were far from over. The age of revolution in the late 18th century brought with it seismic political shifts. Among them was the French Revolution, a radical social and political upheaval that would directly impact the Knights of Malta. In 1798, as part of his campaign in Egypt, Napoleon Bonaparte of France took possession of Malta. The Knights, without any external assistance and faced with the overwhelming might of Napoleon's forces, were unable to resist. The island capitulated and the Knights were expelled. The French seized the treasures of the order, including their invaluable archives, and dismantled the hospital of Malta. The loss of Malta was a crushing blow for the order. It marked the end of the Knights' rule over sovereign territory and the close of a significant chapter in their history. However, despite this setback, the order was not extinguished. The Knights dispersed across Europe, regrouping in Russia under the protection of Tsar Paul I, who was elected as the Grand Master. This period of history, marked by profound societal change and political upheaval, tested the Knights of Malta in unprecedented ways. Yet, despite the challenges and changes, they adapted and persevered, embodying the enduring resilience that had defined their order since its inception. The Knights' response to the Age of Enlightenment and their survival through the Revolution illuminate their capacity to evolve and endure. They navigated shifting socio-political landscapes, adapted to changing circumstances, and in doing so, ensured the survival of their order. From fostering intellectual growth during the Enlightenment to their survival amid the chaos of revolution, the Knights' journey during this period showcases their resourcefulness and resilience. Their ability to navigate these turbulent times attests to the adaptability and tenacity that have been the hallmarks of their existence, further illuminating their unique place in the annals of history. The tapestry of the Knights Hospitallers' history extends into the present day, woven with threads of resilience, adaptability, and enduring service. Today known as the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, they continue their mission of tuitio fidei et obsequium corporum, the defense of faith and service to the poor. Following their expulsion from Malta and subsequent sojourn in Russia, the order underwent a period of reshaping and redefinition. The death of Tsar Paul in 1801 and the ensuing political upheaval led to the loss of the order's temporary base in Russia. The Knights were once again dispersed across Europe. Yet, even in the face of such adversity, the flame of the order did not extinguish. The Knights re-established themselves in Rome in the mid-19th century, under the protection of the Papal State. In 1879, Pope Leo XIII granted the order new constitutional laws, marking its transformation into a sovereign subject of international law without territory, a unique status in the world political order. The modern Sovereign Military Order of Malta is a testament to the order's enduring mission and the adaptability that has allowed it to survive through the centuries. Their emphasis on medical and humanitarian work reflects their founding principles of serving the sick and the needy. Today, the order operates in over 120 countries, running medical, social, and humanitarian projects, from hospitals and ambulance services to aiding refugees and providing disaster relief. The order's work embodies its millennium old commitment to service. This dedication is particularly evident in times of crisis, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, where the order played an active role in providing medical aid and support worldwide. Despite not possessing any territory, the order maintains diplomatic relations with over 100 countries and has observer status at the United Nations. Its sovereignty is recognized by many nations, and it issues its own passports, coins, and postage stamps. It's a unique entity that bridges the gap between a religious order and a sovereign entity, a reflection of its singular history. The history of the Knights Hospitaller, from its inception in Jerusalem to the modern Sovereign Military Order of Malta, is a narrative of resilience, adaptability, and enduring service. It spans over 9 centuries, crosses continents, and intertwines with key historical events and eras. They have navigated shifting political landscapes, survived formidable sieges, weathered revolutions, and adapted to societal transformations. In conclusion, the mystery of the Hospitallers, the knights that healed and fought, lies in their remarkable ability to balance their dual mission of faith and service, their resilience in the face of adversity, and their ability to adapt to changing time. Whether they were safeguarding pilgrims in Jerusalem, defending the walls of Rhodes and Malta, or providing medical aid in the modern world, they have remained committed to their core principles. Their story serves as a reminder that institutions, like castles, can stand the test of time, not merely by their physical strength, but by the strength of their purpose and their ability to adapt and endure. From the hospital grounds of Jerusalem to the grand fortresses of Rhodes and Malta, and now to the medical facilities worldwide, the spirit of the Knights Hospitaller persists. They stand as a testament to the power of resilience, adaptability, and service, and their legacy continues to inspire and captivate castle enthusiasts and history buffs across the globe. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Saving Castles podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the fascinating world of castles and chateaus. Don't miss out and subscribe to our podcast to get notified when new episodes are released. For more information about us and our work, visit savingcastles.com. Thank you for listening.